You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Get a group of Michiganders together and a deck of cards. Add that, mix it all up, and chances are pretty good you're going to wind up with a game of euchre. It was once dubbed the queen of all card games, and it was wildly popular in this country in the late 1800s. But its popularity waned through the 20th century, except here in Michigan and a handful of Midwestern states. Yes, folks, we live in the euchre belt. Just what is it with Michiganders and euchre? Jason Vogue is a journalist and euchre enthusiast who's written about the people's card game. Good to have you with us, Jason. I love the point you made in the piece you wrote for theall.com. You say, if poker promotes cutthroat enterprise, then euchre embodies small-town communalism. How so?
Oh, euchre, when I learned it, I mean, you play with four people, and you have a partner. And that whole time, you have to work with that partner, you have to share your thoughts, you have to share points with your partner, and only way you will win is to work with your partner. And it really strikes me as something that's the opposite of poker. I mean, poker, you just want to get rid of everybody at the table. And I think in the last 20, 25 years, poker has really become the American card game. And I think it's sad that we've lost touch with our euchre past, this very communal, sharing game that you work with other people and play with a partner through the whole game.
Now, when did you start playing, Jason?
I started playing in middle school. I was in the band. I was playing the flute, and I learned how to play playing on top of trumpet cases in band camp and places like that. And it was just this wonderful game. My parents played it. My grandparents played it. Everyone in my family played it. So I always wanted to learn it, and the best way to learn it is with friends that are kind of learning along with you. So we sat in endless hours while traveling on buses or waiting for band meets to start, things like that. We would just play over and over. And I think the best thing I learned from those days was how to tell a story. I mean, you're sitting there with four people, and it's a very communal, like I said, game, and it's also a very conversational game. You're talking the whole time. Talking is very important. It both helps you razz the other players, but also it helps you kind of keep things going. And so I learned how to tell stories and just be a person talking to other people. And those are wonderful days, and I would love to have them back.
And I'm thinking that it probably helped connect you with your parents and your grandparents and all the family members. If everybody was playing, you were able to be part of that.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I come from this corner of Michigan near Westphalia, Fowler, Ionia, Michigan. It's this nest of very old immigrant German Catholic villages where I grew up. And so, yeah, I mean, many of our grandparents and great-grandparents still spoke German. All of these people came over here right at the end of the 19th century, moving to Michigan. They came down through Canada, and they brought euchre with them. So this game has been passed down by German immigrants for many, many years, and it's one of my favorite pieces of my heritage.
Yeah, you live in L.A. now. Does anyone from L.A., not transplanted Michiganders, but anybody that came from elsewhere, do they even know what the word euchre means?
This is the funniest thing about Los Angeles is there are tons of – these aren't transplanted Michiganders, but people who attended the University of Michigan. It's a very special crew out here in Los Angeles. There's a lot of us. I was a University of Michigan graduate myself, and all University of Michigan graduates that I've met out here know how to play euchre and get really excited when I talk about it. But everybody else from California kind of gives me a confused stare when I bring up euchre. But I've played euchre out here with a number of University of Michigan alumni. I think wherever the University of Michigan Alumni Network reaches out to, you're going to be able to find a euchre game, no matter where you live.
In reading what you wrote, The People's Card Game for theall.com, you really spelled out the interesting history, and euchre was huge in this country. So what knocked it off the top of the heap as far as games that America loved to play?
Yeah, well, there's two things. In the 1950s, bridge became very popular. I think it's very hard for people to imagine this, but bridge used to be the most popular game in America. There was a TV show on ABC about playing bridge. It's I think, kind of mind-boggling to think that bridge would be that popular. It's a very difficult game. I struggled my whole life to learn how to play it.
I had a mother. I had aunts. That was their game, was bridge.
Yeah. It's crazy, and that's the partner game that kind of took over. I mean, it requires a lot more brain power and a lot more calculation than euchre does itself. So, yeah, I think it just kind of it became very fashionable, and there were books. Every newspaper would run things about it. So that was the first blow. That knocked – euchre down the charts, as it were. In the 19th century, euchre was maybe the second most popular card game, and then after that, it kind of plunged down in the 50s. And by the time I was a child, euchre was probably like the seventh or eighth most popular card game.
Interesting. Yeah, in fact, I'm remembering Omar Sharif had a daily thing in the paper, his little bridge column. I mean, it was all about the bridge. That is
exactly.
So funny.
Yeah, and it totally eclipsed euchre, and then I think the other killing blow is poker has really just captured the American imagination in the last 20 years. I mean, you see it on TV now in the same way that bridge once did. Now you can see poker on all sorts of different television stations. There's books. There's online. It's just become a machine, and I think that it's a little sad, but I think the kind of cutthroat nature of poker has taken over our culture in a way, and that's kind of bumped euchre, this communal game, out of the picture a little bit. But, and this is what kind of got this whole article started rolling, is there's this euchre belt. It's the Midwestern players in Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. The game has stayed alive among this little tight-knit group of people, and it kind of tracks where these German immigrants kind of moved to the United States.
Is it because of that family roots where you could say mom played it, grandma played it, and because I mentioned euchre just in our office, and immediately everybody started chiming in about, you know, parents playing, and we play, all kinds of views about euchre just within our little office. And it got me wondering, you know, so what is it with Michigan and euchre?
You hit it on the head with the family part. I mean, we all had family members. If you live in the euchre belt, someone in your family knows how to play it, and they taught you how to do it. I mean, you can play euchre online. You can play euchre with an app, but it's not the same. And it's funny if you go just read the customer reviews. People get very upset when they're playing euchre with a computer because a computer can never replace the power and the joy of playing with another person. You just can't replace that, and it's this really kind of communal game. And it's fun, and it's just kind of embedded in our culture, I think, a little bit. One really interesting thing, the most powerful card in euchre is called the Bauer. It's the Jack. And when a Bauer is Trump, when the Trump Jack is played, it can take anything else in the game. So it's the most powerful card. Interestingly enough, a lot of euchre scholars think that is an Americanization of the word Bauer, the German word for farmer or peasant.
Huh.
So built into this game, it's overturning the social order. Usually kings are the highest, the queens are the highest, but this game says, hey, the farmer, the peasant, the people, the salt of the earth, we are the most powerful card and we can win. And that's always, that was really exciting when I found that kind of embedded in the game. And I think that's part of the reason it's spread from family to family to family. I mean, there's some pride built into that.
Is euchre on the endangered species list, do you think, Jason?
Oh, no, never. I would honestly say, I mean, just by the response that I've received to this, and then even if you look in the App Store, I mean, it's in the top 1,000 games in the Apple App Store. Plenty of people can play. I mean, any time of day, if you want to play euchre, you can just turn on this Apple app and play digitally with people all over the world. So I think as long as the internet is alive, you will be able to play if you're separated from euchre communities. But in the places like Michigan where people play euchre, it will never die out, because I'm going to teach my daughter. She's 6, maybe one more year, 2 more years, and I will teach her for sure. And every time she goes home to Michigan, or every time she hangs out with my community here from the University of Michigan, she'll play euchre with those kids. I mean, it's one thing that kids do to pass the time. And so I think as long as families are passing the card game from generation to generation, it will never die out, even if it's not the queen of card games anymore.
Jason Bogue, his piece at intheall.com is worth reading, The People's Card Game. Thanks for sharing your love of euchre, and it's great to talk with a fellow band geek because we rock.
Oh, yes, we do rock, and it's so great to be here, and thanks for talking about this. I think it's one of my favorite topics to talk about in the whole world.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, thank you.